The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy endure to the end. And God's people said amen and amen. When I said that, dear Chad almost jumped. He got so excited. To Jesus be the praise, and God's people said amen. And welcome, welcome, welcome today to this beautiful time in the Word, in the Lord. I want to talk to you about today how to increase your faith. Honestly, how to go from like up to seven, you know, faith has seven levels. I want you to go up to the seventh level, to be strong in the Lord. And we need it today. Oh, how we all need it. Dear Jesus, minister your word to us. Oh, sweet Lord, by your Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Strengthen each one of us in Jesus' name. God's people said amen and amen. And thank you for being with me, you wonderful, beloved partner. And I really mean your beloved, your God's beloved. Remember that. He calls us beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Catherine Kuhlman used to always begin her meetings with beloved. I like that. Okay, let's begin with this wonderful truth. The Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, here is the foundation we need. Faith is not something. Faith is the Lord himself, because when we seek him, faith comes. So when people teach faith sometimes, they miss the real heart of it, because the real heart of it is we seek the Lord, we don't seek faith. So I don't look for faith to find Jesus, I look for Jesus and find faith. It's just so simple, because he is. And this is the heart here, this verse. It says we must believe that he is. So watch this. Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, not to faith, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that seek him with diligence. Seek him, not faith. So if you really want faith in your life, focus on Jesus. Just focus on the Lord. It's so simple. And everywhere you read the word faith, remember, he is our faith. So faith is not a mental acceptance. It's a heart relationship with him. When my heart is knit to his, there is faith. And faith comes when I'm in his presence. When I'm in his presence, I don't have to wonder, is he there, you know? Because the Holy Spirit makes Jesus so real. He's more real than our skin. He's more real than the air around us. He's more real than life. And in that reality, we receive faith that is more real than you can realize, where you don't have to force yourself to believe anything, because it's there. So Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith, what faith? His faith is sin. Whatever is not born, in other words, by the Spirit of God, is sin. And then you read Hebrews. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, 35 through 39. Cast not away therefore your confidence, meaning in the Lord, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, here again the Lord, he that shall come, will not tarry. In other words, he'll come with his reward to bless us. Now the just shall live by faith, the faith of God, not our own faith. But if any man draw back from the Lord Jesus, my soul should have no pleasure in him. Now, do you recall Matthew 21:22? It says, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, he shall receive. Not believing in the prayer I prayed, believing in the Lord who promised the promise. See, it becomes so simple when Jesus is the center. It becomes complicated when I'm convincing myself I have to believe something from the Bible. It's all about Jesus. It's not about confessing a promise. The promise would mean nothing if we did not know the Lord. How can you believe someone's promise without knowing him? So if I made you a promise and you never knew me, why believe it? You don't know me. But once you get to know someone over and over and over, time reveals that what they say to you is right or wrong. And so we can see and believe through time. Husband and wife will believe each other if they have what? A relationship. Friends believe each other if they have a relationship. Moms and dads, children and parents, keep going. So relationship is the key of faith in someone, or no faith in someone if there's no relationship. Or if you find out that they are not people of their word, well, you can't believe them, can you then? No matter what they promise you. So God Almighty, when we meet the Lord at salvation, we get to know him. And then we see every promise he's made to us, he's kept. So the faith is in him, not in what he said only, in him, because that's the foundation. That's the reason I believe what he says, because I believe him. So the Bible says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, when you talk to him, the Lord, believing him, the Lord, that he'll keep his promise, you'll receive. It's all about relationship. In Mark 9:23, it says, if thou can't believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. You know, when I got saved, no one told me what I'm telling you. So I'm trying to convince myself of a promise, and it never happened. Like example, you know, by stripes I'm healed, or any promise of God. But I remember years ago when the faith teaching was so strong, the emphasis was on the Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said. No, it's the Lord who said, it's the Lord who said, it's the Lord who said. The Bible only records what the Lord said. See? So when your focus is on the relationship with the Lord, it changes the whole message. It's not I'm believing a verse. I'm believing the Lord, not the verse. Ooh, that's good. I believe the Lord, not the verse or the chapter. I believe the Lord because it's his word. It's his word. His word. It's not some paper with some print on it. It's his word. So now what I'm reading here, just keep in mind, it's him who's saying it. So if you can believe what he says, all things are possible to him that believe what he says. Makes it so simple, doesn't it? Wow. Okay. Let's look at something else. That scripture and more clearly show the importance of faith in God. And it shows there is no need today for us to explain what the Bible says, because it's quite clear if you just keep Jesus in the center. We plainly see that we will receive what we believe if we know the Lord. And faith in the Lord is a necessity. It's an absolute necessity for everything desired in life, everything we need in life. So all things, it says, are possible to him that believes the Lord. Now, there's no such thing as it's impossible to have faith. No, that's not true. You know, let me just say this something to you. Even atheists have faith. They don't have it in God, but they have faith. So when they get in a car, they know that when they turn that engine on, it's going to start. They don't have to look and check the engine before they start the car. That's called faith. When they get on a plane, anybody, anyways, not atheists only, but everybody. When you and I get on a plane, we don't go and ask the pilot how well he's been trained. Can he really fly the plane? We don't even think about it. We just get on the plane and sit down and know we're going to get to our destination because somebody up there knows what he's doing. Faith. Or we sit on a chair and know it will not collapse underneath us. Faith. Or whatever we do in life. So everyone has faith. But faith in God is not an impossibility. The Lord Jesus said something really powerful one day. He commanded us, knowing that we can, he said, have faith in God. You have faith in other things. Now it's time to turn that faith towards God. Have faith in God. Like you have faith in things you do every day. You have faith in a pilot on a plane. You have faith in people to drive you in a car. I mean, when a friend of yours drives you somewhere, Do you ask him to show you his experience? Show me your license. Rare. We just believe that man knows that he can drive the car on and on. People take Ubers all the time. Do they ask the taxi driver or the Uber driver to tell them his history of driving? They just get in and drive because they know he is in there because somebody already checked him out. So, the Lord is saying to us, you have faith in so much in this life. So it's not an impossibility to have faith. Even atheists have faith. But have faith in God. And it takes more faith in an atheist to believe than anyone else, believe me. So imagine believing in evolution. That takes a lot of faith. But anyways, or even other things. So, since faith was commanded by the Lord, who said, have faith in God, then not to obey him is to break his word, is to break his law, it's to sin against him. So when the Lord said have faith in God, he was saying it's an order, it's a command, it's not an advice. Now, Hebrews 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about or surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What weight? Unbelief and doubt. And the sin. What sin? Unbelief. Which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience. There's faith right there, huh? The race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So in verse 1, he really is talking about the sin of unbelief. Let's lay aside, he said, every weight and the sin which easily grabs us and surrounds our throat, you know. Unbelief, doubt. Run the race with patience. Don't give up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we know he's talking about faith in verse 1 because in verse 2 he says, Jesus is our faith, so don't give up. Don't begin to question and to doubt what he says. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Ah, isn't that marvelous? So don't let things in life, like the troubles of life, affect your faith in Jesus. It's so simple. So unbelief really is the sin that so easily overthrows the saints where they cannot find victory because they just don't know the Lord. And since they don't have a relationship with the Lord that needs to be real close. And what I mean by they don't know the Lord, well, even some born-again believers, don't know him deeply. They know him a little bit, but that's not enough to have faith in him. It's like a little baby, you know, a little child who knows his mom and dad a little bit. But as you grow older in the Lord, no different than a young man who grows older to know his mom and daddy, then he says, you know what? I believe my mom and dad now because you know them. So, in 2 Thessalonians, we are told we are to develop that faith. And when we talk about developing our faith, we're really talking about developing our trust in the Lord himself. So it says we are bound, verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 1, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or right or fitting, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Faith in whom? In the Lord. And the love of every one of you, all toward each other, abounds. It's growing because of your faith in God. Your faith in God. And Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from one relationship to a deeper relationship with God. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I keep saying, faith in the Lord, faith in his word, faith in his character and integrity. Hallelujah. So, now, let me show you the seven levels of faith. When people begin, they usually begin with what is called common faith. Please write this down. This is in Titus 1:4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith. So everyone, when we're saved, we begin with what? Common faith. It's like little baby's faith that God puts in our hearts. And then it has to grow. And as we get to know the Lord, get to know his heart, get to know his word, get to know his promise, that faith gets a little bigger. And so it goes to level 2, little faith. Little faith is mentioned in Mark 6, verse 30. Wherefore, it says, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is gone, and tomorrow it's you know, cast into the fire, shall he, God, not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, little faith is not something bad. It's still growing. At least it's there, you know. So when people question, well, will God take care of me tomorrow, you know? Am I going to have what I need? That's called little faith. But they need to grow into something more than that. All right? So common faith, then little faith. Number 3. Number 3 is Luke 8:13. It says, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root in them, there's no depth, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So there are people who get saved, but they don't stay with it to allow their faith in God to grow, and then they give up. What is that called? Temporary faith. So people go from common faith, little faith, temporary faith. It comes and goes. One day it's here, the next day it's gone. So that is still a part of growth, but if they stay in it, even if they have temporary faith, if they stick with it, if they stay in the word, if they hang on, they go to level 4. And level 4 is called strong faith. Isn't that wonderful? Strong faith. And that is if there's root there, you know, if there's grounds to go deep, then they go higher. Now, if they give up, well, they fall away. I've known many people who began in the faith. When in the 70s, I remember in our church, people who came in with great joy ended up going back on drugs or other things. It was the Jesus movement days, you know, the Jesus movement. And many of the hippies back then in the 70s were getting saved. And I got saved in those same years. I was not a hippie. I didn't, you know, do drugs, any of that. But, you know, there was a great move of God that just swept millions into the kingdom. And I remember some of the people in church who just fell off. They began to question this and question that. And I didn't know then that they had temporary faith. But then you go on. Strong faith. Well, what is strong faith? Strong faith is mentioned in Romans 4:20. I love this one. He staggered not. He staggered not. People that don't stagger, you know, they don't go through turbulence and fall off. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, Abraham, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't look at the circumstance. He didn't look at his own body. And he said, and being fully persuaded that what he promised, meaning God, he was able to perform. Isn't that awesome? He looked at his own body and said, well, even though I'm getting old, I believe the promise more than I believe my body. Strong faith. It's that strong faith that we see over and over in the life of Abraham and other saints. It refuses to take no for an answer. It laughs at symptoms. It laughs at circumstances. It laughs at oppositions. It laughs at the things that look like it's not going to work, but they laugh at it. A lady named Joan Giesen, many of you may remember her, used to work with me. Her girl was healed in one of our crusades. She had a real serious illness. And the doctor, she went to see the doctor with her daughter. And the doctor began to say to Joan, he said, well, it's really only in your mind she's in remission. She rebuked him. She said, my God healed her. And she's healed. Don't you tell me she's not healed. And he tried to give her a medical explanation of how sometimes people go through phases where they look like they're okay, but they're not. She just let him have it. That girl is still alive today and strong and healthy. Because Joan said, I am not going to believe what you say, doctor, because the God I serve healed my daughter. That's all there is to it. And walked out. Just walked out. Or a dear lady, Bobby Rendell was her name, had cancer. Bobby lives on the west coast of Florida. Healed in one of our meetings back in OCC. Goes to her doctor. She still is in real estate. Goes to see her doctor and he starts put questions in her mind. No, she says, I'm healed. Don't tell me I'm not healed. What? Who are you to tell me I'm not healed? She walks out. She's still healed. But when people allow, you know, people or doctors or pastors or this or that to weaken them, they stagger at the promise. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. He refused to listen to whatever somebody said that was negative. Strong faith. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, let me give you another one that is really good. I love this. After strong faith, we come to great faith. Great faith is in Matthew. You all remember the story in Matthew 8, verse 10, where the man came with absolute confidence. It's the faith of that centurion that understood authority. He said, Lord, just speak the word. You just speak. You don't have to come under my roof. Don't come to my home. Just say the word. I know who you are. You have authority. So this is the faith that refuses to doubt or question or reason. It has absolute confidence in the authority of God's promise and in God himself. It rests on the promise. It counts the thing that has been said done regardless of the outward evidence. And now it gives thanks for the answer from the moment it asks, even before it gets. One who thanks the Lord before he gets it has great faith. Because anyone who says, Lord, I praise you even though I don't see it, is like the man who says, Lord, speak the word. You know, you don't have to show up to my house. Just say the word. I know my son will be, my servant will be healed if you just say it. So basically he was saying, I understand your authority. When we praise him, that's what we do. We say, Lord, I understand and I bless you for your authority. If you say it, it's already done. It's done, you see. All right, let's go to the next one. I love the next one. Number six, I'm almost done. Number six is active faith. Active faith is mentioned in James 2, 14 through 20, 26, where we work it. We actually start living it. So great faith becomes active faith when we begin to walk it. I start living it. I step out in faith. When the Lord called me into the ministry, I simply stepped out in faith. I was 21 years old when I began preaching, and I had this stutter so bad, and I was afraid of what would happen when I begin preaching, but everything in me said, I'm going to do it. It was a long walk from my chair to the pulpit, and believe me, it was only maybe like, you know, 10 feet away, and I thought it was the longest walk I ever took in my life. But when I got up there in perfect faith in God, in active faith in God, the Lord just suddenly touched me and my tongue loosened. So I've been there in crusades when I tore people's braces off. What do you call that? Active faith, where I pulled them out of wheelchairs and broke their canes and said, now you gotta walk. And they did. People would marvel and say, well, how can he do that? Faith in God. The Lord, you know, anoints me. That's all that I really needed. Okay, number seven, and I'm done. Divine faith. Divine faith is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Whoa! The faith of the Son of God. This wonderful Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me. And now, because of that divine faith, that perfect faith it's called, you know, we understand. When you read Hebrews 11, that whole chapter is about this one faith. Perfect faith. So he wants us to reach that place. Everything mentioned in Hebrews 11 is the highest kind of faith that he's talking about. Because when you read Hebrews 11 and you read through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By that faith, Enoch was translated. And by that faith, Noah, you know, built the ark. And by that faith, Abraham went into the promised land. Which faith? Not the common one, or the little one, or this or that. It was that perfect faith. Hebrews 11 is the story of men and women with perfect faith. And that's what God wants you to have. And I'm ready to believe that for you and with you. Come on, stretch your hands. Let's believe God. Father, in Jesus' name, bring them to that place. Lift them to that level where perfect faith will become a part of their daily walk with you. That we become a people in that list of Hebrews 11, that we would be just like them in our faith, that we would please you. For that's the one that pleases you, Lord. Without perfect faith, we cannot please you. We give you the praise. Lord, bring them there by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. How amazing, you know. What kind of faith pleases God? Common or little or temporary? Not really. What pleases God is when we get to that perfect place. Thank you, Lord. That's Hebrews 11. Now listen, I want to talk to you quickly. I want to ask many of you to become partners with our ministry. And I want to send you a beautiful instrumental. You can download it as my gift to you for becoming a partner. The Lord is expanding our ministry beautifully, and our studio now is going to be built in the next few days. You're going to see it in a few days when I do these dailies. You'll be seeing big screens behind me and beautiful stuff. And we're expanding now on more and more platforms. We're building our own network on social media, our whole channel, 24 hours a day. And I'm asking many of you to become partners with me. So for $50 a month, I'm going to send you, and many of you can do that. If you can't, do whatever you can, where you become a regular giver to our ministry. And anyone who will become a partner and give regularly between 30 and 50. I'm asking for 50 because we can do way more with that. Okay, and you know that. But I want to send you that beautiful CD that I have for you. And all I need you to do is send me an email today and let me know that you want to become a partner. And that is to PastorBenny@BennyHinn.org. Again, PastorBenny@BennyHinn.org will send you the information and you can join. But now also it's time to give to the Lord's work. And I want to remind you of the promise from Genesis 26, how Isaac sowed and reaped 100-fold in 1 year. I want to ask God to do that for you. I really feel something in my heart. I want to believe for you and with you that what you begin to sow, what you will sow, will come back 100-fold. And it'll come back in this year. This is 2021. We're in July now. Let's believe God that what you sow will come back to you 100-fold by the end of the year. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Just like you gave Isaac 100-fold return the same year, give it to everyone that begins to sow in the name of Jesus. I give you the praise, the glory, and honor. God's people said amen and amen. And send me your prayer request. If you have a financial need or any need, send a prayer request also to the same email, PastorBenny@BennyHinn.org. All right, you can sow your seed on the platform you're watching me on, or you can go to our website, BennyHinn.org, or you can simply text it, BHM45777. And remember, the gift for this month is the names of God that you can download by going to our website. I'm going to send you the 12 names of God free of charge for the month of July. And all you have to do is go to our website right now, or once when you have a moment, to BennyHinn.org and simply download it right from there. Much love. Shalom.